Good evening. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 18th, 2018. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. till midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-475-3250. Our access code is 449-389-POUND. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You could find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is going to be the Gospel of John. We had finished Matthew last week, so we're going to pick up in John. Starting in chapter 1, we'll read the first 18 verses. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He was born in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. But that was the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Okay, let's see. I don't have anything particular tonight, so we'll see what comes up in the next few minutes. Jan, do we have any questions, or anybody have any announcements to make tonight?
No announcements. I'm filling in for Jan. He's on his trip, and his bandwidth is really low, and we couldn't get any decent audio out from where he's at. So
okay.
He told me I got to wing it. So please
wing
be
it.
Kind.
Okay. All right.
We do have a few questions, but I don't have any announcements.
Okay. All right, if there is anyone, by the way, that has an announcement to make, get into the queue now, star 6, and let us know, and we'll unmute you for any announcements that need to be made. But meanwhile, go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I see Eric down there in the queue already. Okay, the questions I have... I'm not good at this yet. This is the first time I've tried it. So let me navigate it here. I have the New York SAFAC. Has the team considered collecting? Oh, no, that's from last week. Excuse me. Bill wanted to know, do you know if there are any jural societies in California, and if there are, their contact information? And I couldn't answer that.
Yeah, I don't have any answers for that either. So when you say, I'm not sure exactly jural society. Is that what was
yeah,
said?
Yeah, that's what he wrote.
So what exactly would that, I mean, I've heard that before, and I never looked it up to see what that means.
I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay.
Maybe he's talking about grand juries in California, but I'm speculating.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, we collectively worked across the nation to organize ourselves as juries locally within our own states, and have built state grand juries, all these juries coming together as a really coming collectively together. And we collectively came together as the national grand jury for the sole purpose to deal with subversion against the United States by enemies both foreign and domestic. The courts are a mess. It's very difficult to get in. They love to throw people out, especially if you're coming in pro se. They just throw you out on Rule 12. They make it up as they go. I have seen so many people constantly get thrown out. I myself have been thrown out numerous times over the years, and I've seen so many other people thrown out of the courts because they don't want to answer. They just don't want to answer. And so the judge is obliged to the status quo. Can you mute? Who's making all that noise? All right, let me mute. Anyway, so it's very difficult to get to court, and of course that is what we're doing here. We need to get a case into the court and try to correct some of these problems, and that of course is our purpose here at National Liberty Alliance, to build these grand jury, a national grand jury, for the sole purpose of being able to hear cases collectively across this entire nation. And we do have quite a few cases to be brought up into a case. Of course, the case we got going in New York, it will become, I'm pretty sure they're probably going to throw us out. They have no cause to throw us out whatsoever. But if they do, I can't imagine them letting this get through, because then they're going to have to answer the questions, and the judges are just not going to allow this. Just think, I mean, if the people we elected actually had to answer the people, just think what kind of chaos that would cause. But in any event, that's where we're going to be at. They have no lawful way to throw us out of the court, but they'll make up what they want and do what they want. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they're going to do. Of course, we've got Plan B and Plan C for all this, which we don't want to talk about at this moment in time. And we'll see where we go. But anyway, okay. Anything else?
A couple more. One is Deanie. I'd like to just read her. She's only about 2 or 3 sentences. I think she's on tonight if you want clarification on anything. Just wondering if any progress has been made on the many non-judicial foreclosures defaults that are still painfully out there languishing. The stopping of this dictatorial, inhumane, fraudulent process is critical because it disrupts one's God-given right to the very core.
Yeah, well, we've got quite a few non-judicial foreclosure cases out there. And again, you know, these are cases that prove the collusion that they've got going from court to court. It proves a conspiracy. They do the same thing constantly over and over and over again in every state, in every county. It doesn't matter. That can't be a coincidence. And, of course, the whole thing is to keep people out of the courts because they can't win in the courts. In other words, I'm talking about the mortgage companies or the tax foreclosures. Neither the tax foreclosure people, you know, people doing that within their counties, or the mortgage companies, they cannot possibly win a case to foreclose here anywhere in this nation. And that's why they came up with this non-judicial foreclosure. It's an uphill battle. There may be a case we may file for someone, and maybe the judge will get a conscience or get nervous and do something about it. I hate to say throw it out of court because it doesn't really reach the court, but they use the court system to play a game, and the court system obliges them. Again, part of the conspiracy. We can show this and prove this. Collusion across the United States. At some point in time, this all becomes evidence, on a future case, hopefully sooner than later, but we'll see how things go, because really we've been doing a lot of things and we respond to what they do. And, we really do need to go in and sue the judiciary. But that costs money. If lawyers were doing this or any group was doing it, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. For us to do it, it's just only a couple of thousand. And so anybody who wants to, give a donation or something for that cause, please do, because that is something we really need to do. Of course, also this New York case also is going to be sort of a decider for us on which way to go after we see what they do. But see how it goes. But anyway, yeah, non-judicial foreclosures, it could be helpful. You could get a judge that gets a little nervous. I doubt they'll get a conscience. I'm not too sure that they have any anymore. Their only fear is maybe that they may get caught and something would happen to them, but they feel pretty well protected. But again, you know, it could work possibly. But it will, in my humble opinion, I believe at some point in time when we do finally get heard and these cases are brought up into these cases, every one of these cases will have some authority or power that they'll be able to look for justice in here. And people need to be restored. We will push for that restoring of the individual. So, don't know how long it's going to take. But the key thing is getting into the courts, and that's been the problem. But, all right, what else you got?
Okay. I have a short set of questions from Roseanne in Kansas. Is there some way to support Crystal and others who are doing battle in the courts, letters, et cetera, calls? We used to do protests against unlawful arrests and make protests to judges, et cetera. My earliest memory of what was in the Utah incident, Stephen, was set up by the FBI and held. Is court observers still doing protests? Is there a call list or email list? I know it's tough to be up against an establishment all working together against a lone person.
Well, we still are doing the courtroom observers, and if anybody needs one, I haven't heard of any cases coming up in a while, but if anybody needs one, you know, some assistance, some help, as long as they get to us early enough. I mean, people sometimes will come in and say they're going to court tomorrow, you know, or in a couple of days, and that's difficult to try to get someone to help. But the key thing is to try to get people there, and maybe we can get one or two or more people to the courts where they can sit down and listen in and make an affidavit of what they hear and see. And that might be helpful for the court case. And if we get enough people, that could cause, that could intimidate the judge, and that also could be helpful. I mean, who knows? He might actually do a just thing in the courtroom. But in any event, that's still available. And as far as talking with Crystal, why don't you get a hold of Jan, and maybe Jan can get a small group of people together with Crystal, and you can organize whatever you want to organize, and also use, of course, the assistance of anybody else. Put the word out that they might need help in the courtroom. Maybe even get some more people to the courtroom observers. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, get a hold of Jan. Is Jan traveling for a while, a couple of days, a week? What's going on?
I think it's for a week.
Okay. All right, well, if you get a hold of Jan, leave a message. If he takes a while to get back to you, it's because he's traveling, so we'll get back to you.
Okay.
What else?
And then the last one has two questions. I'd like to take them one at a time, if good. The first is regards to the SAFE Act hearing in Albany on July 2nd, 2018. If NLA is successful in this case, will it be able to help those with a legal disability due to an unconstitutional firearms-related conviction, i.e. registration offense, prohibited possession circumstances?
Go back again. I was thinking
okay.
Something while you were
the
talking.
First,
sorry.
See, in regards to the SAFE Act hearing in Albany on July 2nd, if NLA is successful in this case, will it be able to help those with a legal disability due to an unconstitutional firearms-related conviction?
Well, I think so. I think it can be, can assist. I'm not sure. Is this person in New York?
I can't tell.
Okay.
I can't tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could. Again, first we need to get into the court and get heard and actually get a jury. Of course, that's going to be the next uphill battle because they're going to say, whoa, wait, juries can't possibly decide the law. They don't know nothing about the law. We can't allow this. That's going to be our next battle. I can see it already. And again, that's if we can get past this Rule 12 problem. And Rule 12 means anything they want it to mean. That's what I have discovered. They just create a story and make it up, and the judge says, oh, yeah, this guy's right. You know, we can't have this court case come in. Dismissed, thrown out, get out of here. And but again, you know, we keep knocking on the door. We will get in. We got our foot in the door, I think. We've got a lot of things going for us, and we'll just see what happens. But,
Okay, anyway. The second one, in regards to due process, this is a little trickier. In regards to due process and the rarity that most people receive it, the quote from Amendment 5 of the Bill of Rights, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. When one does receive it in a full constitutional manner, obviously loss of life is forever. However, are liberty and property taken forever?
I missed that. Say that again. I didn't get that.
Well, it's the way she wrote it. So she quoted the Fifth Amendment. When one does receive due process in a full constitutional manner, are liberty and property taken forever? I mean, if you lose your life, she was talking about life, liberty, and property. She knows that if you lose the life, yeah, it's forever. But are property and liberty and property taken forever?
So the question is, are they, the liberty and property, taken forever? I guess that's the question.
Yes.
And of course, look at it. Here's the key thing. We need to get justice back into the courts, because right now there is no justice. Bar attorneys have been taught to win, 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 win. They have not been taught to seek justice in the courts. And of course, everybody has a bar attorney, so they got total control. They control the discussion. They control the outcome, ultimately. And I've seen some horrible, horrible things. You know, people don't have, you know, you get only so much, well, you don't get any justice for your money, to be honest with you. I was going to say you get as much justice as you can afford. But you can have $1 billion, you're still not going to get justice. You're going to get what the court gives you. And I find it very interesting. You know, the court has no problem. Judges have no problem bringing these things up, and neither does any lawyers bring this up, the bar attorneys. Bringing up the 14th Amendment and talk about due process. If they bring up due process, they will talk about the 14th Amendment, but they will not bring up the 5th Amendment. I find that interesting. And remember, you know, the rules of the court is the rules of civil procedure, okay? It's statutory. It's a statutory court. And that's, you know, they right from the beginning, it's a problem. And we've shown that in this case, in the New York case. We made the points and we made the changes accordingly. We get to decide what jurisdiction we want to come in on. And, you know, we want to come in under common law. We do not want to come in under civil court. We don't want to come in under a criminal court. We want to come in under a common law court, and there is a difference between all three. And but again, you know, it amazes me that they have gotten away with this, to be able to do what they do. It amazes me that they got to write their own rules. It just amazes me. And then they interpret these things. Whatever way they want. I mean, today will be this, and tomorrow might be something else, and then, you know, it doesn't matter. They make things, you know, be whatever it is that they want it to be. So, anyway, this is what we're up against. We're fighting for justice in the courts, and I do believe we will eventually get it as time goes on, but it's going to require either critical mass or it's going to require someone up above to help us, and of course God, but maybe not so high. Maybe someone like Jeff Sessions, who should be doing the right thing, hopefully one day, or Donald Trump, because again, we copy both of them, everything we do, and also Senator Grassley. You know, he's a senator that is on the Judicial Committee. So we'll see, you know, as time goes on.
Okay.
Right,
and
anything else?
Yeah, I see that she wrote another question, but it didn't have a question mark, so I thought it was just a comment. She said, when will the juror handbooks be available again?
When we get money. You know, those books, you can't just, we can print out one or two or three. It'll cost you $2, $3, $4 a piece. You know, there are a couple of ways we could do that. you know, we were selling the handbooks for a pretty good, decent price. I think it was $68 for a box of 100. So it was like 68 cents a piece. And that was delivered. But in order to do that, we'd have to order, I forget what the minimum was, but I think if you hit around 50,000, about that, that's when you get your best price. But, you know, we could do it for 20 or 30,000. We can order them. But it's a lot of money. You know, we just don't have that kind of money. We look for people to support us by, you know, giving us donations and assisting us in different ways. Right now, I'd like to, you know, we also have the Sheriff's book. I think that's the most important book. And, of course, that's downloadable. You can download that on our site or the Sheriff's site. But, you know, it's a PDF copy, so it's not a pocket handbook. But I'd love to get those printed out. I think, first of all, to get them to the sheriffs is the most important thing. But also, they can be very helpful to a jurist or anyone trying to really understand the law of the court and by what authority they should be operating under. That sheriff's handbook is really good. But again, you know, it's a lot of money to get those going. So until we can get that kind of funds, we're not going to be able to print again. But again.
Okay, that's all the questions that I have. I have no announcements.
All right, if anybody has any ideas or ways of trying to, you know, get funds going for different projects, maybe they can get all the Jan, pass that to Jan, and maybe if they want to work with us on it, you know, we can get committees going or something on trying to work out ways to get different projects funded. You know, right now we don't have anyone running that kind of a thing, but if someone's interested in doing that, you know, get a hold of Jan. You can find him on nationalliberty.org and go under the directories or click on the directory and you'll find his name and number there. And again, bear witness, you might get his machine and you might have to leave a message and he might not get back to you till next week because he is traveling. And again, I don't know how long, but we'll assume a week. Okay. That's it. Any other questions or comments?
No, sir.
Okay. Gerard, are you here? Gerard, looks like he dialed in. Don't see him on the board yet.
I see him on the board.
Well, I see his phone is on the board, but I don't see him on the board. You know, the board, he hasn't opened up the board.
Oh, no, he isn't on the board, no.
Yeah. Gerard, are you there? You're muted if you talk and we can't hear you. Calling Gerard. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I'm... Is he trying to get through now, Gerard? Right, I guess not. Okay, let's move on. We're going to go over to Brent tonight. Brent is the author of The Excellence of the Common Law by Brent Winters. His website is commonlawyer.com. And he's going to talk to us tonight, I believe, continuing on the Declaration of Independence. Brent, you got the mic. Star 6 to unmute yourself. You got it.
Yeah, can you hear me? I think you unmuted me.
We got you.
Oh, yep. Yeah, okay. Thank you again. My comments are my own and may not necessarily be the point of view of anyone else that's listening or even of National Liberty Alliance, but they're kind enough to let me say a few words, talk about the Declaration of 76, one of our organic documents that lays out the fundamental first principles of law. It does so as a, as it were, a common law complaint justifying and listing grievances. We're getting down to the end of it here. We've been in it a long time. And it is a complaint that attempts to establish, not to throw off. There's no call to arms in the Declaration of 76. And it is not an attempt to throw off government. That's not what it is. It's an attempt to reestablish, to reaffirm the government that the colonies had, to reach back and reestablish something that, in their view, then they were wiped out and then lost, had been denied them. A while ago, somebody asked about life, liberty, and property, and in answer, it was said that if you lose your life, that's terminal. You don't get it back. Well, that's a practical matter. In this life, you don't get your physical life back right now. That's true. Property, if the government takes your property, a taking, under the takings clause of our Constitution, whether it be a taking of your house. Now, it's the government here we're talking about. Anyone that's not that the law says is not the government, this takings clause doesn't apply to them. If your neighbor steals your property, breaks into your house, plunders your home, steals your car, the takings clause doesn't apply there. Now, if the government does it, that's a different matter. If the government comes and with the sheriff's department and hires a tow truck to come and take a car out of your yard, well, that's the government doing it because they have hired a private party to come take your car. Maybe for fines, or they may say, well, it makes the neighborhood look bad, so we're going to have to haul it away and pound it, sell it if you don't come and get it. Well, that could be a taking. But a taking only applies to the government. It doesn't apply to anybody else, whether it's state government or the general government, Washington, D.C. So taking a property without just compensation is against the law. If the government does it, that's exactly what the Constitution is talking about. And if they take your property and destroy it, use it up, well, you're not going to get it back. Now, you may get compensated with money if you go to court, but you won't get that property back. Life, liberty, what if they take your liberty? What if they throw you in a box or a cage? Or what if they put a bracelet on your ankle and say you can't leave the state wherever you are? If they do all those things, then you have had your liberty taken. Can you get it back? No. You can't get that liberty back. It's gone. It's a matter of time. They have taken your time. They've taken your liberty and your time and freedom and confined you to a space. You have bought that part of your liberty. And by the way, that's no small matter. The law says that's a big deal. It's called false arrest. That's what it's called. In some court cases, false arrest, false imprisonment, those are all takings of liberty. Taking of liberty, taking of life, that'd be execution. They can execute you. They take your life. Taking a life, liberty, and property. And those three things, of course, encompass everything that you have in this life, in this age of man, as the Bible would put it, the word cosmos. This world is the way things are now. You only have three things, life, liberty, and property. And you have property in your rights. Your rights are property, and they're the way you exercise your liberty. You have authority, even. That's property. Authority is property. How do you get authority? Well, you get authority by the sovereign letting you know his will, telling you his will. That's called law. Who is the sovereign? God, the maker of heaven and earth and all that in them is. He revealed his will. And when he reveals his will, that's his law. And with the revealing of the law, the will of the sovereign, comes authority. By the way, there is no other way to get authority. Warrant, jurisdiction. You don't have it without law. It doesn't exist. And that's true the way God presents it in the laws of nature, unwritten in the nature of things. The laws of nature is God written in the Bible. Drop a footnote here. The laws of nature is God written in the Bible is the final word. The final rule in cases of misunderstanding, disagreement between the laws of nature, unwritten in the nature of things, the laws of nature's God. Where the laws of nature's God speaks, it trumps all else in our understanding. Because the laws of nature's God written, as Blackstone tells us in his commentaries on the common law, the laws of England, Blackstone tells us that the laws of nature's God written in the Bible are particular. They're precise. And that's the difference between that and the laws of nature unwritten in the nature of things, which are meant for our observation and our notice. We learn through our experiences. But in cases, to stress this point, in cases of apparent disagreement, in cases of misunderstanding between those two, the laws of nature, the first volume, second volume, the laws of nature's God, the laws of nature's God written, trumps all else. It is the final rule. It is the court of last resort in cases of confusion. Let's get to the Declaration of 76. We have got down the last paragraph. I'll read that last one again. Well, yeah, I will. I'll read through it, and then we'll move on to the last statement after the last paragraph of our Declaration of 76, and then the jurat at the end. That's where the men sign it. Paragraph 31, the colonies together, the 13 original colonies, the representatives of them, say this: nor have we been wanting in our attention to our British brethren. By the way, there's a difference between being British and being English. And British means all of the isle over there, the British Isle, the island of Britain. England is the lower part, takes up a little more than half of it in distance, I believe, of that island is England, and the upper part is today, and was then, called Scotland. And Scotland and England, under the Act of Unity, it's sometimes called, back about the turn of the 18th century, about 1700, I believe it was 1701, the Act of Union brought the two countries together. They'd always been together, always been mixed, always had common interests, but they finally brought them together as a matter of law and government. And they called themselves Britain. So when he says here, we have not been wanting in our attentions to our British brethren, these the men that signed this are talking about the people that live on that island over there we call Britain. We have warned them, they say, from time to time, we have warned our British brethren of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. And we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred. We're cousins, we're crying out loud, they're saying, to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and our correspondence. They're doing things that are cutting off the relationship here. That happens in families, as I'm sure many of you know, better than you want to. And it says, they too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. Consanguinity is the voice of blood. Sanguine means blood in Latin. It's an old word. And con means with. Consanguinity means common blood. We must, he says, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. I'd like to make a comment here about this thing about consanguinity. At that time, the only people that lived in America, the only people that have participated in government, well, not the only ones. Two-thirds of the colonies, approximately two-thirds of the 3 million people that lived here, were British. The other third were Dutch and German. And when I say British, one-third was English, one-third about 900,000 of that 300,000 were Scottish, Scots-Irish, and one-third were Dutch and German. There were a few other people here, of course. There were many black men and women in the colonies. But at that time, they weren't participating in the same way. They did in some degree. And it depended, too, whether or not they were free. And there were many free men and women that were black in the northern states. And there were many, by the way, enslaved in the northern states. It's forgotten that New England, the New England states, had slaves, no question. And all of that has changed now. We are not mostly British here, but know well, our speech is British. Our law is British. Our religion is still primarily and foremost Protestant. It is British. Those things are true, but there are many other people here, many other points of view, but there is one thing that if you don't adhere to, you're not an American. I don't care what you say about yourself, and that is this. We are a common law country, we adhere to the laws of nature, the laws of nature's God, as this document declares. That is the commonness that God has given men. Men are not always common in blood. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that men will have differences, and the differences will come in their families. And your friends will stick closer than your family sometimes. And those are the kind of things that play out when we look at the Declaration of 76. Consanguinity is referenced here because it was a fact. But what is stressed above all things here is our common law. And as we've gone through this document, we've seen point by point and blow by blow that what we call our common law, which at that time they called our common law, they also called the law of the land. That's Article 6 of our Constitution. And they also call our common law due process, because that's what it is, fundamentally. It's the way things are done, not what is to be done, but how. It is process-oriented, not result-oriented. And it is adversarial. All of that. And there's more to it than a man could study in a lifetime. The laws of nature. It is a significant slice of that. And it is undergirding. It puts legs to the laws of nature's God. The laws of nature and the laws of nature's God written in the Bible. And those two volumes together are what enabled, in those early days, the spirits of men in the colonies to rise up and say, this is the law, we don't want to fight, we want you to adhere to truth, and if you don't, we're not going to get along. If you come over here to kill us, we're going to try to stop you. Now, we're not coming over there to try to kill you, but we have a feeling you're already planning to come over here and annihilate us, and that's exactly what happened. They came over here to kill us. So what choice did the Americans have? The resistance, trying to stop them from killing the Americans. And it got horribly vicious and horribly brutal. And there was a plan afoot, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, to infect the entire colonies with the smallpox through the slave population, to infect the slave population, which would in turn start a plague in the American colonies and bring her to her knees. That really happened. That's how ugly it all got. And that's what happens in warfare. That's why we want to avoid it as much as possible. And by the way to avoid it, the viciousness and the despair that comes with war, is to obey the God that made you. Do you think maybe there's some great thing you have to do? There isn't. What you have to do in order to make our country safe, foremost above all things, is to learn to safeguard and do the will of the sovereign. And the way to do that is to be persistent at it, of course. Well, the colonists, in writing and drafting and signing this Declaration of 76, they exhausted their appeals. And that's what they're saying here in the last paragraph. We've done all we can do. We've made humble appeals to you. We've appealed to your commonness of blood, your kinsmen with us, your commonness of law, government. But you've been deaf to our cries of appeal. But that's following due process. You don't brace yourself and say, I'm not budging, until you've tried everything that's possible to try within the bounds of lawful due process, until you've done it all, until you've exhausted every possibility. There is no excuse until that's happened. There's no excuse for just putting your foot down and putting your other foot down and saying, I'm not budging. Now, when you come to that point, that's all you can do. When it comes to the point that obedience to government, the very obedience to government the government demands, is disobedience to God, you have to say, I'm not budging. If you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences. It's going to be a lot worse than what could happen to you in this life. But if the government asks you to do something that, in asking you to do that, your obedience to government does not constitute direct disobedience to your maker, direct disobedience to the true sovereign, it's my position, you ought to do it. There are a lot of stupid, wasteful things government asks you to do, but you ought to do them. If obeying government at that point it does not constitute disobedience to the true lawgiver, the sovereign of the universe. Well, Britain responded to their pleas of the colonists with abuse. And as late as the month of May in the year 1776, just less than 2 months before our Declaration of 76 was signed, General Washington, George Washington, wrote a letter to his brother, whose name was Augustine. And he wrote the letter and he said that the whole delegations in the Congress were hopeful of reconciling with England. Even 2 months after the Declaration of 76, they didn't want to fight, and they were hoping for reconciliation. That's what his letter proves. British Americans, feeling the natural affection of their kinship with the British, had appealed to them in vain, as well as had appealed to Parliament in order to persuade the King of England to relax his harsh, brutal actions toward the colonies. And remember, because England believed her soil was free soil, that's what she called it, that's what the English called their soil, free soil, from which arose the law of the land, the phrase from Magna Carta, Lex Terra, they believed it was free soil. England held that her soil was sacred from all other land. Hence, Parliament said that because Americans lived away from the mother country, as they called it, did not have their foot down on England's soil, then they were not entitled in the colonies to the common law of England. That's why the war happened. All this stuff about the Tea Party, that was an important event, but that's not really what it was about. Matter of fact, the Tea Party, the people that boarded the vessels and threw the chests of tea into Boston Harbor in protest, they did it in protest of Parliament. Watch me here. They did it in protest of Parliament lowering the taxes on tea, not raising them. You say, well, why did they get upset about that? Well, because from their point of view, it was a matter of principle, and we ought to be thinking this way too. They said, we don't care if Parliament raises taxes or lowers taxes. In either case, Parliament doesn't have the right to do that. Not as us. Because our common law says our taxes can't change up or down without our representation in Parliament, and you're not allowing us that. You're breaking principle, you're breaking faith flat, you're breaking the law, and we want you to follow the law and follow the way our common law says things ought to be done. And the way taxes ought to be done is thus and so, and the way taxes ought to be lowered is thus and so, and you're not following that course of process. Good example for us of Britain's empire, only the people of her American colonies had British kinship. No one else in the British Empire had British common blood. England's other colonies, having never known common law and the freedoms that come with it, cared little for common law. They didn't know anything about it over in India and Pakistan. In fact, Parliament, following the Norman King's customs, allowed the native peoples in near all of her colonies to keep their native laws of government, unless any conflicted with England's commands. The native law of the American colonies, however, was the same common law as England's. British Americans therefore demanded it as their birthright of consanguinity, that is, common blood. Thus our declaration appeals to the ties of common kindred, as I'd said before. So the British tried to pull that stunt, the same stunt that they were pulling in India. Well, it's more complex than that. Let me put it this way. Over in India, they told those Indians they could keep, over in the country of India, not the Indians that lived in America. What a terrible confusion that turned out to be. But those folks over there, they said, you can keep the way you do things, as long as you don't interfere with us and what we do here. They said that, by the way, as a matter of custom throughout the world. I mean, even when the Normans conquered England off the coast of France there, it was their custom. They conquered Sicily. They conquered Constantinople. They were pirates that went all over the world plundering and conquering. But when they conquered a place, as they did in Sicily, for example, they said, Roger II, he was a brother to a fellow that conquered England, they said, you can keep your law, and we'll just go along with your law, but we're in charge now. Well, when the Normans conquered England, they did the same thing. They said, you can keep your common law. It's just that we're in charge now. It's much like when Union thugs come in and take over a union, or thugs, gangsters or mobsters come into a town or into a casino. They take over. They say, don't get upset. You just got new management now, and you got to recognize we're in management now. We're not changing any of the rules. We're just in charge. Well, that's what the Normans did. But oddly, when it came to the American colonies, of all places that have the common law, they said you can't have your common law anymore. That's went to war on that point. Paragraph 32, this is the closing statement. Listen to it close. It's worth reading out loud. It says this: we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they're absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. Now, in this final paragraph of our Declaration of 76, the signers declare that such dreadful dealings as those recounted above in the Declaration of 76 demand that the colonies break ties of loyalty from Britain. And their conclusion uses language from Lees, that fellow's name, L-E-E, cousin, a relative to Robert E. Lee. He was from Virginia, this fellow named Lee. And they took their language, the phrases, from Lee's resolution of independence from Britain that Congress had passed 2 years before, or not 2 years, 2 days before, on the 2nd of July, 1776. The signers, while pledging loyalty to one another, confess trust in God alone. That's what they do here. To sum up, America justifies its founding foremost upon our forebears' direct appeal to their personal creator. Their personal creator. And they appeal to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of their intentions. Rectitude, that means, fancy word, it means straightness. No crookedness, just straightness of their intentions. And they did so with a firm reliance, it says, on the protection of divine providence. Protection of every right act. In short, the signers cinch our declaration with trust in God and loyalty to each other, pledging all God has entrusted to them. The founders' foregoing solemn appeal to reliance is a personal matter, being an act of faith and firm reliance upon divine providence, he says. It says, as opposed to relying on self-justifying morality. Whenever you hear the word morality, just say to yourself, that's a mush word. It is. It's a mush word. It doesn't really mean much. Morality is mores and morals, which change day by day and year by year and are of common consensus of right and wrong. Doesn't mean much. Don't give it much credence. But these fellows here are appealing to law, not morality. I know of a famous fella that has a foundation he formed. It's called Foundation for Moral Law. Well, if that's, I don't think that's what he really means. But if it is what he really means, he's wasting his time. I have read some of his books, and I don't think that's what he thinks. But I don't think he distinguished morality from law. There's a grand difference between the two. True law doesn't change. Morality does. They're not appealing here to morality. They're appealing here to the will of their Creator, God Himself. And they're telling their British brethren that they're not budging from their position. Our Creator, our supreme lawmaker, the source of all rights, the world's supreme judge, and our protector. All of those phrases are in our Declaration of 76. Let me repeat them. Our Creator, supreme lawmaker, the source of all rights, the world's supreme judge, and our protector. What are they talking about here? Now they're talking about the maker of heaven and earth as Christianity understands it. No, not as Islam understands it. Not at all. There is no commonness between the two. People will tell you that. Islam will even say, well, Jesus Christ is the second greatest prophet. Well, that's demeaning and blasphemous to say such a thing. And any other supposed foundational commonness between the two, if it's accepted, eventually it will destroy us. The thing that made the Declaration of 76 and the men that were involved in it worked so well was that they had a commonness of the same God. Their perception of God was the same. Go back and read. That it's a common sense question. There wasn't anything else in the colonies. Islam to them was something they knew about. They'd heard about it. It had nothing to do with them. The only thing that had any force or sway in the American colonies was Protestantism. There wasn't anything else. And the Protestant view was the Bible is the final measure of all things, the final rule of faith and practice. There was no other authority, no prince, no priesthood, no nothing, just the Bible. And the Bible, of course, teaches that Jesus Christ has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and that there is no other way to communicate with God, to get to God, to have access to the maker of heaven and earth, except through him. He declared that in unambiguous, forthright terms over and over again. And it needs to be said, and it isn't always said clearly. But if we're going to be true to just the facts of history, we got to go back and understand that. But let's continue and get to the end of this. We're almost there. To dismiss our Declaration's references to God as a mere formality and thus impersonal is not only historical silliness, but ignores the personal character of such formalities. You see, men pay formal respects, as they do here in the Declaration of 76, they pay formal respects to those they hold in the highest personal regard, from whom they seek personal favor. When I go into court, I'm seeking the favor of the court. And we have a custom here in our common law tradition that is not part of the custom of all other traditions, especially toward the courts, not necessarily toward the president, not toward the legislature, the Congress, the state legislatures. But when you go into court, people traditionally, and there's no law that says this, but traditionally people say, Your Honor. Is it because the man's honorable? No, not always. It's just that we pay personal respects because we're seeking personal acceptance. That's what it's all about. And that's what happens here in the Declaration of 76. They're paying personal respects to the God that made them. The signer's foregoing avowal of trust shows that our declaration to be more of a dependence than an independence. That's true. They're shifting their dependence from the King of England to the maker of all things. And it declares our separation from Britain, ending our reliance upon Britain's protection. But we never boast in our ability in this document, never boast in our ability to protect ourselves, but instead confess firm reliance, I'm quoting, firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Now, those words are not to be passed over. Divine, that means God. That means lawmaker. Providence, that means provender. That means provider. Christianity is not a moral tradition. Not at all. Christianity most fundamentally is a providential tradition. What does that mean? That means God provides everything. That means that you don't have nothing that your Creator hasn't given you. Even your ability to recognize that your Creator has given you what you have is given from Him. You have nothing, as the Bible puts it, you have nothing you have not received from above. Not all animals have that. Animals don't appreciate what you give to them, not always. Dogs might. Ants don't. You can feed ants sugar on your kitchen counter every day. They wouldn't have any clue where it came from. But God has given us that ability to recognize that He has given us. That's why the Bible says over and over, Paul the Apostle says, in all things, give thanks. Just repeating what it says needs to be applied. The signers of the Declaration of 76 reveal more of the God of whom they speak in paragraph 1 and upon whom they now lean and appeal, as yet today in our own day. To acknowledge divine providence is to trust the Creator for provision or provender. And the Bible calls nature's God providence because He will provide, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, He will provide all your need. It's a future. He will. He shall. It's a promise. What's a promise? Well, if it can't be broken, it's a law. He will provide all your need. That means He is provider. He is the God of all providence. God outfits people for His purpose. And the British Americans, God outfitted for war in defense of life and freedom. And finally, these words, the words here, I'm quoting, these free and independent states have full power to establish commerce. Well, those words reveal the purpose of our Constitution's Commerce Clause. I just state this in passing. Our Constitution's Commerce Clause is an upfront powerful clause. And here in our Declaration of 76, that's why the two documents go together and are usually published together, because they're mutually supportive. Even without the Declaration of 76, no real case in controversy breathes life into an otherwise the word Constitution. Rather dry and boring. As a matter of fact, most people dream about the Constitution of the United States and talk about how important it is. I'm not saying all, but most have never read it or don't hardly ever read it, have never tried to really understand it. Why? Well, because they haven't put together that it's a dry and dispirited skeleton of words without the Declaration of 76 to enliven it. A real case of controversy. And what our Declaration of 76 talks about is a real case. Resulted in the formation of the most powerful nation on the faces of the ground, the earth. Well, our Commerce Clause, of course, put in place so that commerce would not be hampered between the states. And I read the last. It's to each other.
We're losing you there, Brent. Brent, you still there? Hello? Brent, you still there?
Yeah, he just kind of faded off, didn't he?
Yeah. Brent? I guess we lost Brent. All right. I guess we'll move forward. Gerard, are you back yet? Are you here yet? All right, we'll move on to our callers then. Anybody has a comment or a question, star 6 to get into the queue. We'll take our first caller. A lot of stuff coming through Jan's mic. Jan, we're going to have to mute you there. Okay. All right. We lost our callers too, it seems. I don't know. I guess, Brent,
I'm
you there?
Here. Yeah, I called Rob.
Do you want to finish up?
Oh, I'll just finish reading this last section here then. Yeah, I may drop again. I'm traveling in the wilderness, but here we go. And for the support of this declaration with the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This sentence reveals that the subscriber's common object of trust is the God of creation upon whom they base their power of contracting together. And this is an agreement, a contract together about what they believe, who they're going to rely upon, what they intend to do. And it made outlaws out of all of them. What does that mean? That means a common law that anybody finding them had a duty to bring them in or kill them. That's what it meant, and they knew that when they signed. But they thought it was important, and they thought then they should not budge. And there are three things here that are forgotten and not talked about much anymore in our chivalrous, less society, where men and women are all the same, apparently. And that is honor. Honor here is given from God. Men are not naturally honorable. As we said a while ago, God is the God of all providence, and men only have honor as God gives it to them. And God has said that he would do that. Matter of fact, God said that man is the crowning of his creation, and honor is put upon him, and all other creatures are to fear and do fear him. He has put the fear, it says, of other creatures in it. I'm in a place now where there's a lot of rattlesnakes. I just saw a sign that said, don't let your children wander out here. They may get bit. But they'll be pretty safe, the sign said, if you just keep your eyes open. What that means is if you get your children get hit by a rattlesnake, we're absolved of all responsibility and you can't sue us. That's what that means. But in such cases, rattlesnakes, and it's also about honor on men, and men honor gives it to them, not because they earn it. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that's not possible. But our honor, because it is given as a gift from God, and is given, it is given to be protected and to not let others encroach upon our responsibilities for God that he has honored us with. What has he honored us with? What we call our fundamental rights of our Constitution. He has honored us with those. And it is our jurisdiction that he has given to us. And if we do not defend it, the way that W-A-Y, he says to defend it, due process, then we have despised not only the gift of honor that he has given to men, but also the giver himself, to slight God, to not protect and take care of as stewards of what he has given us, namely honor, is to despise him. Well, thank you, John, if you're still there, Gerard. That's all I have for today. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Brent. All right, we'll move over to our callers now. If anybody has a question or a comment, star 6 to get into the queue. Let's see, Heather from Utah, I believe, will be the next person. And there's only a couple of people in the queue, so if anybody wants to get in, now's the time. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi. So I talked to you a couple Mondays ago, about my non-judicial foreclosure. And I had received papers, and they wanted me to respond within 3 days for a illegal detainer. And So your advice was to send them a paper just saying to put this on hold because I have a case with a Supreme Federal Court, and send them my paperwork that I got back from you guys. So I did that. And Saturday, sorry, I've been packing. Saturday I received papers back from them. I sent them to Jim. I haven't heard back from him yet. So these papers say that they checked with the New York court and nothing had been filed under my name, and that the decision was made by the court last year saying that nothing else could be added to that lawsuit, and they struck the motion down and gave me a 3-day eviction notice. So I'm wondering what I should do now. The court order I got is not signed by a judge. I'm assuming that the sheriff has one that he'll serve any day now. It's an order of restitution.
What was the judge hearing?
What was that?
What court? What was the judge hearing? What was the case?
This says in the 6th District Court for the state of Utah.
Okay, and they were going to make a decision on what?
They're the ones that the United States attorney sent, filed with them the illegal detainer. And so when I sent paperwork back to the attorneys, then it went, now it's an order of restitution that came from the judge, I guess.
Yeah, but I still don't know. But the judge is making a ruling on having on a foreclosure, because I thought it was a non-judicial
foreclosure on my answer to the illegal detainer.
And who? What advice were you given on the detainer?
You told me to send them a paper, just asking them to temporarily put this on hold because I had filed a case with the Supreme Federal Court.
Right. All right, we do send a copy to the judge, whatever judge you list. We send a copy to whoever's trying to take your home, whether it's either, you know, someone taking it for tax within the county, or, you know, the president of the mortgage of the company that's trying to take the mortgage, you know, for foreclosure. We make the notifications already for you. We probably told you, and I don't know whether I said it or Gerard, maybe you were talking with Gerard, I just don't recall particularly, but, you know, I do tell people, well, you know, you can bring that paper and again, you know, bring it to the attention of the judge, especially the one that's trying to kick you out. Now, they're going to go, there is no case opened up in your name, that's true, but it is a depository for the grand jury for considering indictments and filing other papers and putting other people on notice, particularly people in power that is abusing their power. Also to judges and so on, which we do intend on calling for a hearing shortly by the grand jury concerning looking for indictments for all these judges who have been forewarned and been told of the breaking of the law. You know, if they read it, they would see that they're being put on notice for a crime and that they shouldn't be participating with this crime. I think we lay that out quite clearly on the process on how they go about taking your homes away. And, of course, you know, when he makes the call, if he made a call, he probably called, of course, the court that was on the top of the paper. It does have a court case number, and they may be told that the court has been that the case has been closed. They're still receiving papers. They really can't close that case per se. Because we're using it as a depository. We gave them notice of it, and they're still taking the papers. And also we believe that the clerk is afraid to not take the papers, and that's a good judgment on that clerk's decision. Let the judge pull it out. And the judge won't pull it out because that's a 20-year prison sentence for removing papers from the court filings. So they have to go through the process. And of course, we are still filing papers. But anyway, the key thing is at some point, all of these cases will be used to show the fact that there is conspiracy between all of the judges. The whole judicial process is really in trouble. They do not permit or allow courts of justice to proceed, literally. And I think its first place you see this is right in their paperwork when they call it a civil case or a criminal case. This is, you know, the United States Supreme Court has been clear that, particularly with a criminal case, that it's not a court of record, okay? Yet they claim it to be. Yet they put people in jail for criminal act. They claim for committing some criminal act. But anyway, that's the way that goes on that. But in any event, at some point in time, we do expect to, you know, get hearing on this, and then all the cases we have filed will be dealt with at that point. But we also are going to be doing, indictment soon. And I'm sure the grand jury will agree that these people are out of line and disobedient and should be indicted.
Okay, so my question is... The papers I got said plaintiff's motion to strike defendant's filing on May 22nd and to enter a default of the defendant. And
well, you might want to you might want to ask, you know, well, okay, you can strike the paper's filing. You can say that to them. Okay, you could do that. But what about its contents? The contents reveals a fraud. Did you read the paper, Your Honor? You know, whoa, I didn't read. Well, don't you think you should at least read the paper? Because you've been put on notice that there is fraud going on, and you ignoring this. You know, ignorance is no excuse of the law, and at some point you can get caught up in this thing and see where it goes. I mean, I'd be very careful talking to the judge, though. Like, you know, you want to be humble and respectful, but make your point across.
Well, I don't even know how to talk to the judge. I've never been to court on the matter, so I'm surprised they gave it a case number this time. So I don't even know how to get a hold of the judge to say anything. They gave me 3 days to vacate, but the order's not signed, so I'm waiting for a signed
order.
Yeah,
well, again, yes, that is one of the problems. The thing is, you know, how – I don't understand why this court is going to be involved with a dispossessed. You know, usually town courts – do you have town courts and village courts out there?
What was that?
That is a town court?
Yeah, it's the city, the town, the county. It's we only have one courthouse.
But it's not, no. It has nothing to do with being a town or a village court if it is a county court. You know, you have to figure that out. What was the name of the court again?
Sixth District Court.
Of?
For the state of Utah.
Okay, so it's a state court operating through the county. You know, every county has a court in it for the state. Where people are supposed to be able to go get justice. So they're hearing it. That's very strange. But again, maybe you don't have – in Utah, there are no town courts. There's no village courts or anything like that, right?
That's not as far as I know, not where I'm at. We have
Who deals with traffic tickets?
We have a justice court. And he's not even a judge. It's just a little room you go in, and he tells you what your fine is.
Who is that? Is it a town? Is that a village? What is that?
It's a town.
Okay, so that's the town court then. That's got to be the town. And I'm very surprised that the state court would handle, dispossess. Because, you see, that would mean he'd have to make a ruling. Is your state a non-judicial foreclosure state?
That I do not know.
Okay, well, that may be why he's ruling on it. And if they're not a non-judicial foreclosure state, then they have to go into the court to get a ruling. And they do try to, and I got to believe even there, like New York is not a non-judicial foreclosure state, yet that's the only way they foreclose. They do non-judicial foreclosures. That's the only way they do it, because there's no other way to do it. And that may be what they're doing there.
Well, the only reason the judge is seeing this is because the state attorney filed paperwork for the unlawful detainer. That's when it went into court. It never went into court for the foreclosure. It was only because I wouldn't leave the property. That's when they went to a judge and said, can you ask her to leave? But I was with the unlawful detainer. That's the only time it's ever been given a case number.
The sheriff up and ask him if he's got a court order for a dispossess from any of the courts, and if he says yes, they do, ask him if there's a signature on it, if there's a judge's signature. And if they say no, then you can say, well, you know, without a judge's signature, you know, you shouldn't be able to execute that warrant or whatever you would call it, dispossess, but would be able to exercise that paper.
All right. No,
it'd be interesting to see what they say.
And then if there is a signature, then I just need to be out in 3 days.
Well, the sheriff will notify you and tell you. And usually when the sheriff comes out, he'll come out the first time to tell you that they'll serve you the notice of the 3-day notice. It's got to be served by hand. At least here in New York, it's got to be that way. I've got to believe that's the way it is everywhere. Sheriff comes out, delivers you the 3-day notice, says, I'm going to be here on such a date at such a time. And if you're not here, we're going to put your stuff out in the streets. And that's the process that I'm familiar with.
All right. So
you should call up the sheriff and find out if they got any paperwork on you and what the process is.
Okay. All right, is there anything else I can file or anything else I need to do with this paperwork then?
Well, no, not really, because, again, we're all in the same boat with all our cases. It's the same problem everywhere. These people just do whatever they please. Justice has nothing to do with the court systems that we see today, and that includes the federal courts who are operating under civil procedures and not under the common law, not under the law of the land. They have no part of the law of the land. They're not interested in justice. They're interested in status quo, making money. And in my opinion, I think that they're just happy with injuring people because it doesn't bother them at all. These people seem to go to sleep at night. I guess a lot of that money, whatever it is that they get, helps their conscience. I don't know.
All right. I'll see what I can find out then.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. We'll take our next caller. Let's see. Gerard, are you back on in here yet? Gerard?
Hey, I don't have my window up, though. I'm having trouble getting into the... I got my Skype up, but I don't have the... what do you call it? The control. Let me try it again in a couple
minutes. Sometimes you have to update the... there's something that has to be updated every once in a while. I know I just...
I never had this much trouble. All right, let me just try it again. I'll let you... I'll go ahead, get the next one, and I'll see if I can get in.
All right. Okay, let's see. We'll take our next caller here, which is Felicia from Florida. Go ahead, Felicia. Felicia from Florida.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Sounds like a Verizon commercial. Although they haven't been using those Verizon commercials.
You guys are funny. I have a couple of questions. What do you guys think about the kids being taken away from their parents and thrown in FEMA camps? Because from what I understand, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Canada, and the United States is all one union under the NAFTA Act, controlled by the NWO.
Well, look, I don't think that they're putting them into camps like that. Maybe they are. I just don't know. I know that there is a law that when children are taken into custody, they're only to be able to be held by the police or whatever agency takes them for X amount of hours, and after that, then they have to give them over to family, what do they call that, family services or something of that nature, and then they have to place them temporarily. So they can't just put them into some kind of FEMA camp. I do not believe that that's happening at all. Now, I do disagree with separating the children from the parents who came into this. Even though they came into our country illegally, I don't think they should have been separated. I do know that President Trump agrees with that, too. There's always a game going on, and it gets, after a while, there's just so much confusion, you begin to wonder what the truth is. But I think, in my opinion, I've been watching what Trump is doing, and he gets my trust. He has done everything he said he was going to do. He stuck with his guns. He tells you the truth the way it is. No matter what the news says, he'll tell you this is the way it is. And I have found him to be honorable and right all the time. And... So when he says that he has to do this because that's what the law says, and he asks Congress just change the law, and the Congress says, oh, no, it's just a policy. Now, I'm not sure what they mean when they say a policy. I was trying to look that up, as a matter of fact, recently by keywording some keywords and see if I can find what law might be there for people who came into the country illegally, and if there was children with them, if they were to be separated and so on and so forth. If anybody's done any research like that and has come up with some law or something, I'd love to see it. Or
there is
a policy. Let me just say that is not what President Trump says. And if you're going to ask me, am I going to believe the media, or I'm going to believe, or the Democratic Party that's at war with Trump? If I'm going to believe them over Trump, I don't think so.
Because
he has proven to me. I'll tell you what, Republicans are nothing but a bunch of liars. They're turncoats. They betrayed us, and they've been betraying us all my life. They've been betraying us. The Democrats are the same way. They're betrayers. I've been involved with the political process locally. They are corrupt. You can't get any more corrupt than these people. And they do it with – they don't care. They're like the judges. They don't care because it's like they get protected, you know. But the point is that, Trump is not a politician. And, I come from New York myself. Trump comes from New York, and I'm very familiar. I'm aware of Trump going back into the early 80s, and, I'm very familiar with him. And he's a hard guy to deal with, and he plays hardball. He's a big hardball businessman, and that's what he's doing for America right now. It's exactly what we need. He's playing hardball. He's fixing all the problems, and he's been honorable and honest, and I haven't seen him in a lie yet. I have not seen him in a lie yet, so I believe.
Well, some of the things he says is inappropriate. Some of the things he does say is inappropriate, but I did see a video.
That's what the people want. Look, the guy is hardcore in different ways. I agree with you. He says things like nobody else would get away with it. Trump gets away with it because he's Trump, and he's not a politician. And he's a hard guy. He's a hard ass. This is what the people wanted, I think, anyway. We're tired of the politicians. And you know what? At least he speaks his mind. And that's the other case. You're right.
That.
He does say some things that probably is not necessarily so appropriate, but I really don't care at this point because he's doing the right thing.
What was shocking to me is somebody posted a Facebook post of Obama saying the same thing that he's saying right now.
What did Obama say?
They need to tighten the borders, and I mean, it's like everything that, and they compared it, and I'm like, Obama said that? And Trump's doing the same thing.
I saw a YouTube right when Trump was over there talking with Korea, for instance, and what was going on, trying to make peace with Korea, North Korea. And there was a basketball player who got to know
Dennis Rodman.
What's his name?
Dennis Rodman from the Detroit Pistons.
So you're familiar. I just became aware of it. So you're familiar with this. And and he said clearly he approached Obama about this situation that really this guy really wanted peace and wanted to get them together, and he just ignored it. But President Trump, he went over there and made peace, and I believe it's going to be an enduring peace. I think he's been on, he's been reacting mostly to, the CIA and the way the deep state's been treating him, because they got to maintain chaos over there and the Middle East. They got to cause problems. They got to, get all these black flag things going, and because they need this perpetual war, this perpetual. Constant fighting. They need this. Because they got to keep us busy and never make peace. But hopefully this guy's going to make peace with a lot more countries.
Well, I saw him live today, and he was talking about space and how they want to have some kind of
that.
Yeah, space has already been weaponized. So I know a lot about that.
I'll tell you what. NASA has had control of that, okay? And, the deep state has been control of NASA. And it may very well be that President got control of NASA back, and he's got control of it and took it away from the deep state. Now he's making a statement, and he's going to take credit and move things very quickly.
If he did that, then that'll be nice.
Huh?
If he did that, that'll be nice. Because I know a NASA astronaut, so I know what's going on, so.
Well, when I heard that today in the news myself, and I heard that, I said that's the first thing I thought of. He probably took control of NASA. He was able to take it away from the deep state. And that's what he's doing. He's taking their power little by little, but it's huge because it's not just in the United States. It's worldwide. All these nations, other nations have the same problem. But anyway, getting back to the original issue you're talking about, okay? Trump says and believes, and I'm looking for the law. I wish I could find it. Maybe, Brent, maybe you can find it, or anybody. He says that there is a law that requires this to happen. And he's, you know, and therefore Jeff Sessions and the Border Patrol, they're going to obey that law, okay? And
right.
and they have to. But, you know, really, they don't really have to because, well, no, it's a hard one to get. They're going to have to. Now, is it just a policy and who made that policy? And I don't know that that is the case because if it's just a policy, then it could be ignored.
Listen,
you know?
Can I say something?
Doesn't something like this separate us from each other?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Doesn't something like this separate all of us? I mean, you got all these different races on the planet. Doesn't something like this separate
all of us?
You
sound muffled all of a sudden. You were sounding very good up until now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
When we're separating all the races and then we're having all the laws and the immigration and all this, doesn't that kind of separate us all from God?
Well, absolutely, and it separates us, of course, from each other, and that's ungodly, and yes, it does separate us from God. And look at this race thing that's been going on for a couple of hundred years. This was all part of the game. They need to do this. They need to separate, they need to get the people in conflict with the people, you know, the black against the white, the Democrats against the Republicans. Everything's always a fight. Everything's a fight, and it shouldn't be. And look at, there should be no Democrat or Republican fight or any of that BS, because the bottom line is that, their arguments is trying to get the upper control against the other party. And if they're doing that, then they're leveraging the work of Congress in order to legislate in a way that benefits one group over another group, and that is evil and it's a crime, and it shouldn't be. And if you remove that from the table and prevent that from happening, we wouldn't have all of the politics that we got going on. These problems wouldn't be here. George Washington spoke about this. He despised the separation by the political parties. So, but Gerard was going to say something about this thing with Trump and the border and separating the parents from the children. Gerard?
Well, the one advantage to the refugee problem, quote unquote, is the fact that they treat American citizens worse than the refugees. They separate American parents from their kids with no due process all the time, horribly. And I know personally they do it. And now they're all worried about these refugees coming in and they're separating them. That's an advantage for us as the American people, because now what the American people need to do is make that issue and bring it home. A lot of the benefits and stuff they're giving to them, we should be demanding them as a minimum standard from ourselves. If they're going to give them
benefits than me,
that's right. That's right. They get the top benefits and everything because it's a political issue, and because these people out there, Democratic and Republican, are riding it home for votes, because they think these people are going to give them votes when they come in. That's all it's about. It's all political. And so when they raise these issues, what we need to do is, when we go into court, we need to mention the fact that we want at least the standards that they're given to refugees that we don't get, that American citizens don't get.
Right.
So, and the other thing is, look at Donald Trump is fighting the CIA. The CIA, he had to get the CIA out of Korea before he could go in there. And he went and he told China, look, you think you got a trade war now? You either give up. I got rid of the CIA, and China was the one that was controlling Korea, and he used the trade thing in order to let them let go of the control. So he's playing these games behind the scenes that people don't even realize. I don't know how if they don't kill him in the next year, it'll be a miracle. You know, because he's
upsetting.
Well,
they've already tried numerous times already. He's got a couple of helicopters went down. You don't hear about it in the news.
Yeah, and missiles going up and all kinds of stuff that you never
hear. Yeah,
that
was a strange one there.
Yeah, well, they're trying. They're really trying. Right. And so he's working this thing like crazy, and they're trying like crazy. And a lot of what goes on you don't hear about. And as far as this policy business, you know, policy's not law. We've always said that. You know, they bend policy for themselves. Any politicians' kids that get in trouble, you see the treatment that they give them versus your kids. They're not treating
right.
Everybody the same. So don't tell me they're following policies, you know. It's all a bunch of baloney. So anyway.
Well, one senator went in, and they didn't even let him in one of the immigration camps.
they're like fighting to get in to see what's going on, and they refuse him to even come in.
They're pulling a lot of shenanigans all over the place. And look at NASA. As far as NASA goes, NASA has always been a military operation. The whole reason we have a space shuttle with a 40-foot arm is to deploy stuff into space. That's not for exploration. That's for military stuff. Because if they wanted to explore, they would have smaller stuff.
What do you make of Trump's statement today? I heard on the news. I'd like to get your opinion too, but then Gerard, go ahead, Felicia.
Why? Where he said he wanted to start space exploration.
Yeah, Felicia, hold on. Let Felicia talk first, mm-hmm. and then you pick up because I'm interested in both of your views. Go ahead, Felicia. Mm-hmm.
I know a NASA scientist here in Florida, so he's been there 34 years. I know a lot of things that I can tell you guys that I won't say here, but mm-hmm. He did tell me. He's on a lot of talk radio shows. And I did a face-to-face interview with him, which has never been done. And he pretty much told me that NASA was destroyed by Barack Obama.
Really?
He's destroyed. He said he was his direct quote was, he's an evil Muslim that was in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't disagree with him on that.
He said he destroyed it. And, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I posted on my Facebook page, but as far as Mars and the Moon, we've been there. We've been over 300-something planets. Space is already weaponized, and I would just stop right there.
Well, what did you get out of this today, Gerard?
Well, I think he's trying to take NASA back however he can, and what he tells the American, he needs the people to be behind him to do anything. And they never told us what they were really doing anyway. We only get a bit or piece of it or 50 years after it's done. So, yeah, I think he's discovering what's going on. And look, they ruined our military too. He's trying to Everybody says we have the most powerful military in the world. I don't know that I even believe that anymore.
Oh, we do.
Well, you know what? When you can't buy a nut or bolt in this country, if we ever went to war, what are we going to do? Okay, stop firing, China. You got to send us some grade 8 nuts and bolts. They're sending us substandard steel that is rotting away. Yes, we do have the most powerful military. Maybe at this point, I don't know. They're sending us cars that rust away in 8 years instead of 20. So everything is planned obsolescence. They've done a lot of damage. They've ruined our steel industry completely. Pennsylvania's got plants that you'd have to rebuild to open up, you know. And it's going to be a tough run because we also have, you know, the economy that's in a great debt that's not going to get paid. And I don't know what Donald Trump's plan is with that, but I'm sure he has a plan to overcome that. And one of them I know is if we start exporting oil. Look at any country that has oil going out, I don't care, you're not going to collapse their dollar. It's not going to happen because we're still an oil economy. And even when they bring out the new, even everybody says, oh, they got all this new technology. That's right, but how long do you think it's going to take to implement that technology? People aren't going to get rid of their cars and get cars that burn water overnight. It's going to take 10 years minimum, you know, to tool up and get that going. I mean, I think he's got all this stuff in plans because he's working with the part of the military that is good, that has backed him, or he wouldn't be able to do anything that he's doing now if he didn't have the military behind him. So this is a very big reprieve for us. God has given us a reprieve for a reason, and I think it's for judgment. I don't think that there's no electric light show in the sky of a fight between God and the devil. That's not true. I know there's certain people that believe that there's going to be this great battle in heaven. There's no battle in heaven because the devil does not have any kind of anything to battle God with. But the devil has tried to take over God's creation and change it and destroy it and recreate it in his image and likeness. It's going to be a battle between God's creation and whatever the devil steals. And so it's going to be with his people, with us. So it's a battle that's going to take place in time. And it's one that we need to win. And I do believe that part of this judgment is going to be these people receiving their just desserts in time. It looks like, you know, the way I see it, it looks like they're going to go down. And it's totally unbelievable to me because when you understand the length and breadth and the size of this thing, to think that it will – There was no way that any one man could take it down. If Hillary would have been in there, we would have been done. Done already.
I agree. But I honestly don't think that they're giving President Trump the clearance as far as the NASA program. I don't think
He's going to have to seize it, and all he has to do to seize it, of course, it's not as simple as I'm going to say. I'm sure it's a problem. He's got to get rid of the those that are in charge. Those who are making all the calls and running the whole process. He's got to get rid of the leadership, and maybe he's done that, or maybe he's in the process of doing that. I don't know, but he does have to get control. In any event, he does have to get control. By his statements today, he's telling us something,
One of the reasons he hasn't allowed them to go in and arrest people like Hillary and Podesta and these other people and McCain and all these traitors that are up there is because he can't do that until he sets the system up. They control every judge, every prosecutor. They got the whole system corrupted. You're gonna lose over half your Congress before he's done. And you can't go after these people on the top that are controlling things until you've cleaned the system out. You're gonna run them through their corrupt system that they created. That's what's taking time. He has to get their corrupt people out of there. And I mean, he's using them too. He's twisting their arm around their back and saying, "Look, we got the goods on you, and you go in there and do what we say, or we're putting you to Gitmo, and you're never going to see the light of day." That's how he's operating, I believe.
Well,
it takes time.
You're muffled again.
We lost you. Can't hear you, Felicia.
Say, I did see online.
You're good. Felicia?
Lost her again.
Can you hear me?
I
did see online that a grand jury indicted some of the politicians in the pedophile ring. I did see that. Saw that today. Don't know what grand jury
it was. The latest sealed indictment count is over 35,000, and they've been doing 5,000 a week since the 35,000, which is unprecedented, unheard of ever. They don't get more than 1,100
this year. Is that not Jeff Sessions behind that?
Oh, absolutely. They're not. Look, he's not going to talk.
Thing between Trump and Sessions has got to be a game. I mean, I've been thinking that for
a
long time.
It's a show.
It's misdirection.
And that's right. And actually, Trump is the perfect guy to set it up. And the perfect guy to play it, because that's what you need. Look at Thornton told us, what's court? Court's a show, he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think this whole political thing is not a show? It is a show.
Yeah,
and the best showman, I think, is Trump, and he's working with the military. And what does Q say? Enjoy the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Hi, look, I'm going to turn this over to you. I'm feeling well tonight, so I want to pass it over to Gerard. I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to hang out for a little while longer, but I'm not feeling
good. Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Felicia.
Thank you,
thanks
Felicia.
For the call. You got the
Terry,
board then.
Terry will back me up with the board if I get into trouble because she's in here.
Yeah, well, you always get yourself in trouble. So.
That's my nature. Okay.
Trouble.
Our next victim is Pennsylvania Mary. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
Good.
Hope to get through to you guys.
Good to hear from your voice, Mary. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Thanks, John. I would appreciate it if it's possible to speak with you and Jan tomorrow. Gerard, you're more than welcome as well. Maybe like 11 a.m. I'm taking a class before that.
Okay, Jan's not around, but you could try me direct and Gerard and... we'll see what we could do. I'll try to be in front of the computer at 11. I should be. I got a lot of writing to get back to, and I've had so many things that have been bogged down.
Yes,
and now
this
I'm
is important.
Back to
this is
a, yeah, I know a, it would be. I know. So we'll try to make ourselves available at 11. Try us at 11. If you don't get us, try us again at 12.
You'll need to give me a number to give a call to, okay? Now, I want to back up a second. Yes, John, there is a law. Senator Merkley tried to go last week to do a tour of the facility in McAllen, Texas. And he had contacted them and set it up. And when they showed up, they would not allow him in. And that actually is online now, that interview. Channel 10 NBC was down there today. And they actually did, a whole group of media were taken in. And they actually are cages inside of a Walmart that have, like, army cots sandwiched in. What they did is apparently they're claiming that there's a law that was written a few years ago that any adult 18 or over that crosses the border illegally is going to be taken into custody and prosecuted. Anyone who brings children with them are going to have their children taken, and they'll be put into a refuge and then placed with family members within 72 hours or another children's shelter. And they were trying to say that it was lovely and everybody was being treated wonderfully, and you were seeing absolute footage of the people in there and the whole setup. And the Channel 10 newscasters were really infuriated with the conditions of all of it. So yes, that is actually going on. The pedophilia camps are for real. They've been exposed. There is a call out to America. People are needed for many, many things. And there are many groups that are all doing, and what they're doing is right. Everybody's doing different things, but each things that are being done are right. And what nobody's realizing is that there's a renegade system. That renegade system doesn't perceive any of us as living beings. You're not a man. You're a corporate entity, and they've been conditioned through all their education and training to perceive all of us as a corporation, as a business arrangement, a business agreement. And as soon as they're addressed in the situation where they've got to perceive you as the man, they can no longer talk to you. They have to walk away.
You know what's interesting is they play this game making us a corporation, but then on the other hand, if you accept and say, okay, I'm a corporation, then I get to write off everything I do that has to maintain me, my food, and of course you're not going to be able to do that. My housing, I mean, the corporation has to be housed, doesn't it? You know? So,
you know,
but
the deception that has gone on to everyone globally is despicable. It's absolutely, unbelievably despicable, and they know it. And karma is almost a sure thing, and it is very, very sad. So, but it is time.
All right, well, look at calling me tomorrow, 11 o'clock should be good. And Gerard, we got a 3 o'clock tomorrow, by the way, with You Are Free TV. You there, Gerard?
Oh, right. Forgot
3
about
o'clock
that, yeah.
Tomorrow, you know, we shifted twice. One time I couldn't make it, and then she had to cancel. Something happened with her. Now we're set up for tomorrow at 3 p.m., so I'll pull you in, you know, I'll call you on Skype maybe about 5 to 3 or so. And let's try to keep on line for Mary. I have an idea what you want to talk about, but we'll see.
Okay, now I'm also going to tell you, I don't know the specific, but there is something with the state of Utah in comparison to the other 49 states. And it is the setup of their system within the state and how they handle things. But honestly, anyone who re-records a deed of conveyance, you're done with their system. That's what they've done to us. And it's kind of strange because things that have happened to me over the last 8-10 years are all coming back and fitting into the picture. When my husband and I went to, and you're aware of the situation with our home, we went to a debtor's hearing. Our attorney asked me if we had done any kind of changes or filed anything with the title or anything, and I didn't know what he was talking about, and I said, no, we didn't do anything. That's how they've been able to do everything that they've done, because they've put our property into a trust, and they did it using the electronic signatures. What has gone on behind the curtain is continuing to unfold, literally on a daily basis, and there really are honorable people around the country that are digging and pulling it all together and sharing it, and it's really that, it's important. It is important. So I'd appreciate, thank you for the time tonight, gentlemen. I appreciate it. We all are one, this divisiveness they've created. This was all part of the design, the plan. That was the other thing. Everything that you're seeing with regards to, like, North Korea, Trump, that's all scripted. That's all. I knew a year ago
about the treaty. Yeah, we're aware of that now, yeah. Uh-huh.
But I knew about the treaty that had already been done. Mm-hmm. So it just wasn't public. I kept hearing of it and learning of it, from a few, I'm going to call them leaks. So there still is a whole lot of things. Get your popcorn ready,
mm-hmm.
for real. But just know it really is not what it seems. And I know I keep seeing people being bounced from one position to another. So I know that this battle really is going on. If you just sit back and start taking a look at some of the people involved, and this one was put into this position by the Obama administration or by Michael Flynn, and then when somebody else came in, he was taken out and claimed to be a crook. Now he's back in another position. This is what they've been doing, is rotating a whole lot of people from both administrations. So it's total confusion is the name of their game. They don't want anybody really tuned into any of it. So there really is a whole lot of, while we're doing our thing, and everybody has been doing things honorably, we're being laughed at because that's not part of their agenda. But once they've got something in their face that they can no longer say no, I know they keep sending me correspondence. Somebody keeps sending me correspondence, but it's in another form of my name. I have not ever responded. I've never gone by that as a legal name, and I don't intend to respond to it in any capacity. I have no interest. It's all bogus. It's all, I know exactly what they're trying. It's all about trying to extort money from me. Sorry. I'm not going to let you open another bond under that name, under that fiction. I'm not going to do it. And they haven't sent anything certified. They just keep mailing different people, and it's all for the same. And it was all bogus. It was absolutely bogus. So, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope everybody's doing well. Yes,
okay.
No?
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Hey, the other thing I was going to say, what Felicia is, that whole Canada, America, and Mexico thing, that's one of the first things that Donald Trump killed when he came in. That thing is right. Not, that whole business of putting us together, he already thrown that away. With Mexico, Canada, and the United States being one big open border.
The union, correct. You're absolutely correct, Gerard.
That is not anymore. They might have wanted to do that under Homeland Security and all that, but that's dead. That's dead in the water.
That's correct.
Hey, let me make an announcement here really quick. Just hold on. Anybody wants to get into the queue, there's only a couple people in the queue right now. *6 to get into the queue if you have a question or a comment. And Gerard, I'm going to pass it over to you. You got it, right?
Okay, thanks.
Oh, shoot.
Go ahead, Mary.
So,
I had a senior moment. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
We're talking about the union, the North American Union, and I said that it's dead in the water, and you were saying that you
you're,
knew
you're
that
correct.
That was correct. Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. And, oh, I know. That the purpose of what they're doing with regards to the border is actually they're trying to stop the trafficking and the drug running that's been going on for quite a while. And this is the only thing at this point that they have been able to do to make a dent in it. Now, that's behind the scenes.
I can tell you how you just stop it overnight. I can tell you how you stop it overnight. Legalize it. Period.
Legalize
yeah,
what?
Well, that's how they make their money.
Legalize the drugs. Look at, you know, you control it like you control anything else. The people are all hooked on it. Hopefully you'll get them off. But look at, you won't have the dealer in the schoolyard. The kids won't be grabbed because they capture these people at a young age and when they're vulnerable, okay?
They don't capture the ones who are really behind it.
But you won't have all the violence and the killing and all this stuff going on over the drugs. It would all disappear because there's no more market.
You got the CIA guarding poppy fields. This is how they make their money.
That's who's behind it. Correct.
So what he's saying is if it was legal, they wouldn't be able to control the price themselves. It would be a taxable thing that if people wanted to use it, they'd have to use just like alcohol.
And there'll be a lot less drug addicts, and there'll be a lot less drug addicts, and definitely no kids would be getting it. I mean, look at you. It should be.
They've created
anybody
this
anybody
junk.
Giving a
That's
kid a,
right.
a drug, they really should be hitting hard on them.
They created this situation. This was deliberate. This was part of the conspiracy.
Of course.
They used the AMA. They used the doctors. So the pharmaceutical industry is in on this.
That's going to be a tough one to take down. The pharmaceutical industry and the AMA are two things that need to go away, and they're going to be one of the hardest because they have the most money and the most influence.
Well, the bankers and the bar actually do.
Yeah, all that too, yeah.
And see, Trump isn't even there. There's a hierarchy so much more powerful than he is. I have the written hierarchy. I've got the whole graph of it. And it's absolutely dumbfounding to see who's there and who's involved. Our world is not what we think. Trump only has access to so much information. There really is where they needed to be cut off was in the pockets. They have to be cut off from their money source, which is the drugs, and it is the Federal Reserve.
Well, that's what he's been doing, and that's what's taken so long, because you can't go after these people unless you cut off the spigot that's feeding them. And that's
you're right, and there are other world leaders that are a part of this.
Oh, absolutely.
This has all been by design.
All those Saudi princes that were arrested, that was all with that child trafficking they were doing. And he went over there that wasn't just him, that was the military. They planned it for years.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
and so,
Gerard, you're right. You are absolutely, this goes back to the 60s and
yeah.
JFK.
That's right.
How far back this does go. And there haven't been too many honorable people in position since then. It's really disgraceful what they've done and how they just destroyed the last generation. What should be and what is are two different things.
I know that.
But it's changing. This will change. Okay, I don't know who the young lady was, but I may be able to put her in touch with someone. I don't know what her situation is with her house, but there may be somebody I can put her in touch with to deal with a Utah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, Pennsylvania is constitutional. And Philadelphia is the capital of the republic, and there are those who are waiting for the rest of the country to hop along. So with that, John, I'm going to sign off, gentlemen, and hopefully we'll speak with you in the morning. And
very
that's
good.
Really
Thank you.
That's really good news. That is good news.
There's a lot of good news. We should be very happy of most of the stuff that's going on now, because just a year ago you wouldn't have believed that it could even happen. So we've done a lot in the past year and a half, 2 years, that I didn't think would ever happen in my life. So that's a good
cool.
thing, like
isn't
you said.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, isn't that
yeah.
the truth?
Okay, so anyway, thank you. Yep.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good night.
Yeah. Good night. Okay, next one up is it Vince from Maryland? I don't have my glasses on. You're unmuted.
Hi, this is Valerie. Yes, I'm from Maryland.
Oh, Valerie. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to say. I'm good. Response to the lady a couple of phone calls ago, there is a lot of different kinds of stories going around, and they really want to pin this whole child thing on Trump. But in fact, this has been going on for years, and what Trump has been trying to do is to solve the problem. The Democrats, and I am not a party loyalist. I never was. And I have been signed under almost every party. But in most of the states, like I used to live in New Jersey, I live in Maryland now, you have to be either a Democrat or you have to be a Republican in order to vote in every single election. Because at one time I was in the party of independent. But we shouldn't have all these differences. And it is designed to make division in every way possible. The most
Absolutely.
Important thing is to stay focused, which you remind us of every now and then, on the Constitution, that we, the people, should be together under one and united against the corruption of our government, so that we can have true liberty and our rights, which were being attacked and taken away. Now, I didn't even vote for Trump, although I liked what he was saying. But the fact that he has shown and made steps, because I watched very closely, and I have friends on both sides, I had a lot more what they call so-called progressive, which they still think, they always have this mindset that they have to stop, like the old-fashioned way, Democrats are for this and Republicans are for that, and all the Democrats are good and all the Republicans are bad. And then they completely think that when they're told something on the progressive side, that they believe it. They instantly believe it. But when they see something that a conservative posts, they will not believe it. That's a lie. Or show me the proof. But, you know, we got to stop that. We have to start looking things up and realizing that it's not about parties. And we have to all come together. And we have to fight back with the Constitution. We have to have that practiced in every single city again, in all the states, and in our highest forms of court. We have to do that. That's what we should be focusing on, not this other stuff, because this other stuff is just designed to distract us and divide us up. There was much more I had
true.
To say because of so many little other issues you were talking about. I'm like, yes, and I want to say something about this, and I want to say something about that. But then I forget because there's just so much. Oh, the space thing. This space thing. What I have been seeing now, looking and looking and looking and trying to learn and trying to get the facts, and, of course, there's always some misinformation or rumors, but The Getty in California, that museum, has nefarious problems, and that there is something underneath there. And they do use child trafficking they do sell children, and they're born into slavery, and a lot of them do not have birth certificates, so they can't be tracked. And they are Luciferians that do all this, and they do child sacrifices. So when they're killed, they're not tracked. No one can trace them. And they take them across state lines and country lines and fly them all over the place. And that is one of the most money-making things they have over the drugs.
It's bigger than drugs now. It's actually
bigger than drugs. And they want to keep that in the worst way. And that's why they're not giving it up.
Well, they're not going to have much choice, because that's actually what Trump is using to take them down, is the pedophilia. Because you know, it's unquestionable that you can't kill children and you eat their bodies and all this other stuff. And that's what they're doing, and that's what they have evidence on. So even though they've committed treason and lots of other things, it's much harder to prove that stuff. But the pedophilia is very easy. And believe me, the military and Trump have access to a lot of what's going on with the NSA as far as the phone calls and everything being recorded. They're getting that information, and so all the information that they try to destroy, that Hillary thought she destroyed, they already had it. They have every email, they have every text that you ever made, and every phone call. And so those people are ridiculous, and they're kind of stupid because they thought that they could get away with it because they never worried about it before.
And they're so powerful. The network is so vast. When you go down and you see how huge a network they have and how they've taken out the good people and put in the people that they want in from bottom to top in every single form of the government. And that's why the government is so big, too, because they wanted to create more powerful so that it would be almost impossible to take down. And it is. It's extremely difficult. My point with the space program thing, I was listening very carefully. Now, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but there was a secret space program, and that was where a lot of this money that they made from drugs and child trafficking went. It's just like you being married to two women and having two different families, and money was missing. When they needed money to fund their crime operations of war and space war, they took the money from us any way they could if they didn't get enough from their drug and child trafficking. And they did that. And they are very powerful, and they have a nuclear weapon. They have lots of nuclear weapons. We saw them used. We almost got attacked, remember, off the coast of North Carolina. That's why Obama fired so many of the men that went against his wishes, because they realized what he was trying to do with that attack. And there is a big nuclear bomb in the Getty underneath that complex, which they have threatened to use if these high-profile people like Hillary Clinton and blah, 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 Obama, were to be arrested. They've threatened to use it on this earth, and it would really pretty much cut this earth in half. And so what he's doing is he's getting a space program of his own to combat their space program, and there are supposed aliens, and some are good, and some are not. And so some are with them, and some are with us. And that's the way it is.
Well, I don't know if you've heard about that whole Containergate conspiracy with Hillary Clinton and the big seaport down around Cape Canaveral, which they sold to Egypt, our enemy, and bypassed the hearings in Congress for a foreign country owning our strategic stuff, especially like the biggest port in the world. And what I understand is that they were able to send containers in and out of there during the whole Obama administration, you know, shipping containers, those sea containers that they take off and then they put them on tractor trailers and they turn into a trailer. And some of them had missiles on them. That the roof's opened up and there's a little chair in there. And they don't know how many they shipped where, but it went on for 8 years, so you can only imagine, you know. And so that's a problem, you know, as far as that's what they have over us, the people, and Trump and the military. Like you said, if you come after us, we're going to blow the world up. You know, they're planning on going underground and blowing things up, you know, and then maybe coming out in a year or two or three when they think it is safe, you know. But they're sick people. They're very sick. If you know, the whole idea of what they think they're going to do is a very dysfunctional, schizophrenic, you know, almost serial killer type idea, you know, and to think that they have all this power in their hands. And anyway, that's where we are with these crazy cabals. You know, look, God's in control, and that's what we gotta. That's what we have to understand. That. We know who wins in the end, and it's not them. So anyway, I think
it's just frustrating because I really want to do something, not just sit there talking about what's happening. You know, I want to actually get people to do something, and it's so frustrating.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, just the language that they use in the court system that we have found when we go in there. And then they call you sovereign citizen when you call into question the validity, the constitutionality of their statute. Everything has been turned to statutes. So in other words, they say they got rid of the common law and they replaced it with statutes, and they believe that the statute is 100% constitutional, which they're not, and they believe the statutes have withstood the muster of constitutional challenge when they haven't. And so if you challenge the statute and you say it goes against the Constitution, that's when they label you a sovereign citizen. Because if you don't believe that that statute is as good as the Constitution, you have a problem as far as they're concerned. So it's up to us to change the language on that and keep pulling them back to the Constitution. Because, you know, they believe that, you know, see, under the statutes, everything has to be clearly defined. And they have a problem with that because they don't clearly define anything. So if a statute says, you know, you have to do this, this, or that, and they use words like shall and may and this, and that's how they keep them constitutional. Looking at PL 400, the gun law, one of the things it says in there, you know, it goes through, you have to know what their language is. They talk about weapons. They use the word weapon. They use the word rifle, pistol. And under their definition, a weapon is an assault rifle. It's not a pistol. And then in there, they also say that if you have a concealed carry license and you buy another gun, you may register it. Well, may means may. It doesn't mean shall. And so the reason that they put that in there as far as registering new guns under your pistol permit is because they had to use the word may, because making a national or even a state registration of guns is unconstitutional. It's already been ruled that they can't run a database on these weapons. And so the way they keep the statute constitutional is they use words like may, but we don't. They act like we have to do it, and they don't tell you that you don't have to do it. And so when you do it, you just contract it into their baloney. And, mm-hmm. and they're not going to tell you that the thing that they're prosecuting you under was not even a law, and the reason they didn't put it in was just to have it hold up to constitutional muster. But nobody took that thing back in and examined it and declared it unconstitutional. It never happens. They put these unconstitutional statutes in, and you get a couple of congressmen or senators going, "You can't do that. It's unconstitutional." But just because they said it, they didn't run it through a case, and they didn't say you need to remove this. They just talked off the cuff, and they didn't talk on the record, and they didn't do it. They didn't make it a court case. And so they lie. They say, oh, all these statutes, they're constitutional. They've withstood the test of constitutional muster. I'd like to see one of them that withstood the test of constitutional muster. So when we go into courts and we say, hey, we have a Second Amendment right, they go, get out of here. There's been gun control in New York since 1600. Well, yeah, 1600 was when the English tried to take the settlers' guns, and they said no. That was the first shots that were fired. And the Attorney General in New York is going to use that as an example of why we need and why we should have gun control, because it's precedent, because we had it under the English, and then later on the Sullivan Act with some crazy guy that was schizophrenic with a syphilitic brain, and he makes the Sullivan Act to protect his thugs who were shaking the people down, and they were getting shot at, so he put a gun law in because he knew that his guys wouldn't comply with that, but the law abiding citizens that owned the stores that they were shaking down would comply, and that's what it was. So this is what this country's run on. It's like mobster laws.
It is not.
Anyway, yeah,
I have questions, actually. I have the question, why, what are they using to go after people's homes? Are all of these people missing a payment, or are they doing something else
They're doing all kinds of nefarious things to get people's homes, all kinds of stuff. You heard about the robo-signing, and you know, they're also selling mortgages to different companies, and they never keep the contract with it. It's all done with no signed contracts. It's all illegal activity. It's all much of it is in REM, especially if it's a tax thing, but there's no due process in any of it. In other words, they put the action on the property and not the people. They treat it like a pirate ship. They're using admiralty law, and they're not even doing it proper. You know what I mean? Under federal law, there is a way to go after something in REM, a ship, let's say. But they're using it on property, and they're not even following the federal rules, which set up in REM, which they would have to follow if they wanted to. They shouldn't even be bringing it on land, but they do. And one of the things that they're supposed to do is there's supposed to be an arrest of the property by a federal officer. When does that ever happen on a piece of property?
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear them arresting? I mean, they'll do it for a drug dealer, maybe, you know, a big international drug dealer to get his property, but they're not doing it for the rank and file people. They're just
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What?
Have you heard of Mike from New Hampshire, Mike Gill?
Oh yeah, Mike Gill. My goodness, I don't know. I haven't followed him lately. You know, they tried to kill him a couple times too.
Yep.
They've been going after him, and I don't know. They've pretty much, you know, ruined his income in that. Is he still around? Is he still fighting them?
He still is. Oh yeah.
Well,
and
that's a good
thing. He wants people to share his videos, so I always, whenever they pop up, because I follow him, then I share them all over the place, and I make sure that people learn about him, because that's the only way we're going to get enough people to fight back, help him, you know? And
well,
also,
there's lots of people out, not lots of people, but there's quite a few people that are doing stuff like Mike Gill with the videos.
Yes.
Putting videos on every day, and you know, it's probably, you know, we don't hear about it a lot because they're getting better at keeping, you know, shadow banning and keeping people's videos away from us. But the fact that you see the way that they can get out is like what you're doing, is by sharing them with other people.
I keep getting notifications that they want what do you call that? Census Bureau. Like, it's the law. You must, you know, comply. And I've gotten so many. I don't think it's any of their business how many people are in my house. I feel like they just want to know how many people they have left to depopulate.
Yeah.
And it's the law, and you'll be fined, and we'll send someone to your home and not comply.
They only just count. You look at it, if they just counted people, they have an excuse for counting people, obviously, because they want to see what the tax base is and blah blah. But they don't just count people. They want to know when they do the long form. They want to know, you know, who goes to work, who stays home, how many bathrooms you have. Like you said, that's none of their business, and I don't believe that you have to answer any of them. You know, I can't
afford
my property.
I know they're going to come to my house, and they say they'll sign you, and there's a bunch of things. And I looked
it
up.
They never do it. They've never done it, and they'll never do it. It's a bunch of baloney.
Okay, good.
I don't believe that they'll fine anybody or do anything. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You could give them a count of how many people are in the house. That's about all I would actually give them. And they, you know, they claim that that's how they distribute the taxes. But you know what? This whole business of distributing taxes, the reason that they have it is because the federal government is doing stuff that they're not supposed to be. We shouldn't be begging money from the federal government. You know, the federal government doesn't really need to know how many people are in your houses. That's more of a local thing. That's local welfare, should you know what I mean? And that should only be the people that are on assistance. Anybody else is none of your dang business. You know, what do we need all this? You know, we give them their money, and then we give them our money, and then we have to beg it back from them? I mean, come on. That's what this is, you know, about. And it's also about control. I mean,
right.
When Obama first came into office, the census, it was about two years before the census was due, and he had people going around with his GPS thing he wanted them asking questions. He started the census 2 years early, and one of the things they were supposed to do is they were supposed to make a GPS dot on a machine and record within 20 feet of your front door. And the lady that came here, you know, they're all just people, local people looking for jobs, making $10 an hour, doing the federal government's bidding. She had a machine, and she said, "Well, I'm supposed to get within 20 feet of your front door because I wouldn't let her on the property." I says, "And why does the federal government need to know where 20 feet of my front door is?" "Well, they may want to get a hold of you." I said, "They can get a hold of me. They know how to get a hold of me anytime they want. If I don't file my taxes and stuff, they know how to get a hold of me, right?" I said, "Within 20 feet of my door." I said, "Do you ever think about what you're doing?" I said, you know, if you guys got beat and put in a hole in the back and buried, you guys would stop coming around and doing this stuff. I said, there's only two reasons that the federal government will want to know where 20 feet from my door is. One would be to put a smart bomb down my chimney, or two was to be sent foreign troops to my door to arrest me. So they don't really need to know where 20 feet from my door is unless they have nefarious purposes, right?
Right.
So I don't know. This I made the poor woman very upset, you know. But it's not even her fault. She's just doing a dumb $10 an hour job, but she doesn't realize what she's doing. I said, if you had half a conscience, you'd take that machine and all the little dots that you made within 20 people. Feet of people's doors, you take it and throw it in the creek, in the river, and you wouldn't give it to them. Because what you're doing is you're informing on your neighbors for control,
yeah.
for federal government control. That's what it's about. And even Brent talks about why they got a post office in every little rinky-dink, tiny little po-dunk hamlet and village and everything, so that the federal government can have a footprint and collect information from us should things go bad, using their post offices. So that's another one to think about.
Going back to the space program thing, and when he said that we needed to defend our Earth, he's right. He doesn't want to alarm people. For instance, remember back in the campaign when Trump said those silly things, and I'm like, oh, my God, he shouldn't have said that about, you know, the Mexicans. Well, he's not good with a way of words. I'll give him that. But he didn't want to alarm people that he was right to say that they're not sending their best over. It may have sounded racist to a lot of people, and they, of course, capitalized on that and pushed it out. But that's not at all what I got out of it. What I got out of it is he's trying to tell us, and I hadn't heard before he ever made that statement, that we're in trouble and they're sending people over the border that are nefarious.
They're sending nasty things.
He was trying to tell us about MS-13, but he didn't want to alarm everyone, and it didn't come out right.
He's come out of that because he's proven that they're not sending their best over. They're
right. Well, now with
that's an army that's coming over here that they were arming with those containers, sending guns over here, and some of those were coming in from our southern border, so we're actually, you know, soldiers from elsewhere that were trained in these schools, and they're battle hardened troops, and they're just building up an army, getting ready to do their FEMA camp thing, and using these shock troops in the city of MS-13 doing their dirty work. Matter of fact, isn't that what they said? Who killed Seth Rich was part of the MS-13 gang. That's what the Clintons were using to do their dirty work. That was Obama's brown shirt police force.
Yeah. Speaking of the police force, the secret police, because I saw on your website, you know, with Cuomo. Now, is this in every single state or?
No, look, the gun laws that we have are the worst ones everywhere. Maybe California's as bad as us. And really, there's only 7 states with real bad gun laws.
But I'm talking about the secret police force, you know, the secret police one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, Cuomo's got the state police that he controls. And they have said that they will come around and collect guns. So is that a secret police force? He sets up SWAT teams within that of guys that claim that they will fire on Americans. And what they should know is there's plenty of Americans that will fire back. I don't, as much as they say all this crap, I don't believe that they really have the wherewithal to do it. I don't believe they'll ever come door to door to collect guns, because I think that would be a very, very big mistake. And I don't think that at this point that they're ready to do that. There's too many guns and too much ammo out there, and they would unleash a horrible, horrible revolution that they would not be able to stop. So I think it's more of a fear tactic, to be honest with you.
With the space program thing, going back to that again, when he said that we have to defend ourselves, he was not telling us why, because he can't tell us, but there is a threat and he knows about it, and it's the cabal, and they have their secret space program, and now he needs one to combat them. That's basically it.
Look, we made a treaty to never weaponize the moon. But do you really think that they honor that? How are you going to police that?
And the they don't honor anything.
If you have super galactic particle beam weapons on the moon, you can hit any place on the Earth. And I think one of the reasons that we haven't had World War III up to this point is because they weaponized space around the Earth. And they probably took every leader and they picked somebody and they drilled a hole in his head while he was sleeping in bed. And they said, we'll do this to you. Now go home and behave. You can do this, this, and that, but don't do this. Don't talk about that. Don't move on this. And that's how they control them, because they actually have that kind of control from outer space. You know, they've been reading, they've had the ability on satellites to read the license plates on cars. And that's what we know about. They probably and they got drone technology. My goodness gracious, they can send. They even have micro mini drones that they can send into your house that look like bees.
Like a bee.
So, you know, I mean, they're not going to use them on everybody because I don't think they have that many. I think we have the ability to do that, but I don't think that they have tons and tons of those things yet. You know, I don't know.
They also want to mine on the moon, and I know this from the LaRouche group, that trying to get there's a big, huge difference between nuclear fission and nuclear fusion. Nuclear fusion is supposed to be safe and completely recyclable. They want to mine helium-3 and because it's on the moon but not on Earth. And it's very rare.
Right.
So that's what they want. They want to mine. And they said that today, but they didn't say what they were mining, but that's what it is.
Well, if that's for clean, free energy, I'm for it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, listen, I'm going to move on because we've been here for a long time and we have another person in the queue, but it's been good. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Florida. Hello? Felicia, I guess, again. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can now, yes. What's up?
Okay. What's your last call? Just talking about it, too. The trillions of dollars that's been missing from IRS and other people has been going to the secret space program. I don't know if she said helium-3 or helium-3, but helium-3 is used for interstellar travel.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going to other planets. We have bases on the moon. We have bases on Mars. Been there. Even Dwight Eisenhower, you know, who actually, you know, met with these other beings from other planets, actually met with them. I think he had a heart attack on one of them. I think her name is Laura Eisenhower even said, you know, they tried to get her to go to Mars. That was a long time ago. We've been there. Did that. What we're going through right now is at least the technology and everything that they're giving us right now is at least 1,000 years beyond what they already have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? What's really going on?
Fusion, you're right.
It's not. Because they don't want nuclear weapons out there because it would destroy the universe.
Fusion is different than fission. Doesn't blow up. It puts things together and makes heat, like she said. Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
You go ahead.
I'm just saying they've told us that they never mastered nuclear fusion, which doesn't set off a chain reaction, and it's recyclable, and it's not dirty, and it's controllable. They don't want us to have that because... Look at that! Would end up being almost free energy, and they have many sources of free energy.
Tesla pulled it right out
using the Earth as the big capacitor, pulling it right out. And there's many people that have been doing his experiments, and the guys that break through it, you know, they quickly either buy them out or kill them. So I know
Elon Musk knows nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows nothing. A lot of people don't know about how Elon Musk tried to send off the Falcon 9 here in Cape Canaveral and how it was blown up by an unknown object. People don't know about that, but you won't see that on the news. But the secret space program is real. But my thing is, you know, when I joined NLA, it was for the purpose of helping people establish justice. And it is. And it really is. But until we, and it's just my own opinion, because I hear a whole lot of stuff. You know, I all I do is research. I ain't got nothing else to do. I do it with my phone. I can't even finish my, civics course. But, you know, then again, I have somebody that was actually there when the school teacher and his girlfriend, Judy Resnick, was on a space shuttle that was blown up. I know the details about that.
Was that Krista McClure?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I know details about that. So my thing is that this,
until we understand and comprehend that we are bigger than something than ourselves, there's always going to be division. And yes, to the lady that just got us called, there are bad ones and there are good ones. And the good ones are trying to help us. And I think, me personally, from my own experience that I've had, that they're saving us. Because I can guarantee you right now that, you know, you can't go outside and you look at a planet and you see what somebody called from the Bible a chariot, and underneath it you see a sun with a beam of light coming from the planet, harvesting energy. Have you ever seen that? Because I have. So what's going on is bigger than statutes, codes, policies, and all that, and it's just me. And I'm in a bad situation. And right now, I really don't give a damn, because I'd rather serve a higher power than serve man that's trying to destroy everything on the planet. We're killing the plants. We're killing the animals. We're killing the trees. We're destroying it. That's not from God. That's not from God. And if you read scripture, and I know all of you guys do, because I be listening, especially Mr. Brent, you know, Mr. John, and I'd be like, amen. You understand scripture? You can move anything with a mustard seed. You just had to have a thought and a mentality, because the Bible says to know the Lord is to know thyself.
Well,
and
what are they doing? They're getting away from those fundamental principles, and that's how you beat them. You go back to the fundamental principles, and that's one of the things in our case that they don't want to answer. They cannot answer those fundamental principles. Just like when they tried to trick Christ, and he got them, and they said, and nobody asked him any more questions after that. And they meant his enemies, because he stymied them by asking them questions that they couldn't answer. And basically, that's what our job is, to do the same thing to them.
Yeah, I mean, because we're awake, and they don't want that. And that's why, obviously, we're not getting nowhere in court.
Well, I wouldn't say we aren't getting anywhere, because the stuff is going on the record, and they're still putting our stuff on the record. And so they may be doing what they're doing, but they got, you see, this, what we're putting in the court, what we're doing, and what's getting put on the docket, that's the people, that's the bottom coming up. And what that's going to do is that's going to meet the top coming down. That was always the, what's his name there, Van Jones, the communist. He was preaching bottom up, top down, because he wanted a revolution. He wanted to destroy the system, and he wanted them to clamp down on us. But you see, that's our mantra. Our mantra now is the people rising up, bringing those fundamental principles back into the land, and the top coming down is a blessing from God, giving us a leader that will actually enforce those things. And I believe that's what's going to happen. I think the bottom coming up is going to meet the top coming down. And when those two forces meet each other, then our law will be restored. And that's it. Watch out, baby, because all this stuff will now come forward. There'll be cures for cancer. There'll be free energy. There'll be all kinds of stuff that you could only dream about. Now, I don't know. It seems too good to be true. But meanwhile, we're marching along this path. Now, do we make it, or do we end up destroyed in the process? I don't know. But I know one thing. We're going to go down fighting. The way it was before, we would have gone down with a whimper. We wouldn't have gone down with anything. You know, we would have all been in FEMA camps. We would definitely been their cattle like they want us to be. And, you know, look, they've done very well with us over the past 100 years. They get you to work all your life and give half your income to them, and then get sick and die by the time you get into your 60s. You don't collect too much. In America, the average male collects 3 Social Security checks and kicks off. And yet the system's broke. I don't get it, because they're giving the money, and they're stealing the money and using it for all kinds of other stuff that it was never meant to do. But that's what the average male in America gets, 3 checks and dies.
Okay, so let me ask you
40
this.
Years, you know?
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How much money did the Creator have or use to create everything that you see that exists?
How much money? It was none.
Exactly.
No, I understand, and it's a state of mind. It's a state of being. And John even says that he says, think free, act free, and be free. A lot of what's enslaving us is in our minds. Because
have you ever seen the movie The Arrival?
The Arrival? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've seen.
Please watch that movie because it is like one of the most conscious movies that you will see, besides The Matrix, of course, which
right.
was written by Sophia Stewart, which was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to get back in on the conversation because, you know, she was talking about the secret space program, and that is real. They have police forces in the secret space program that nobody knows about. Listen, it is real. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's happening. They can't tell people that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin actually landed on the moon, and when they got there, they was in front of a whole lot of people that they didn't know about, that brought them back to Texas and scooped up their castle and took pictures. They can't tell people this stuff.
Well,
Thor is real. Val Thor is real from Venus. It's subterranean, destroying every planet. These Dyson spheres that's going around is destroying a whole lot of planets, and there's one coming. A lot of people don't know about it. They deleted the video that I sent, you know, but, you know, it's okay. It's coming.
What?
The Creator
yeah.
comes, and Babylon will fall. And I'm going to just stand mute like that.
Okay. Well, it's been
all
a
right.
good discussion. There's nobody else in the queue. It's,
it ain't. I can keep talking. What? It's not fair yet.
I want to know if I can still become a Jedi warrior. Star Trek is going to be real. I'm going to get on that ship and we're going to go exploring
Kirk,
all over.
Captain Kirk had a flip phone in the 60s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The
Jetsons
had flat screen TVs. He even had the little boy Elroy had a smartwatch and he was looking on the phone. You know, it's like, really? And that was in the 60s. That was before I was born.
If you want to know what's going on, you watch the movies because they're always bragging and telling about it. In the movies, they always give you a glimpse into what's going on.
Because they have to.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, this stuff was around a long time. What about Dick Tracy's watch? That was like, you know,
yep.
come on.
Yep. You
know? Uh-huh. So. And it's actually worse than that. There's part of this that scares me, and the part that scares me is the fact that they want to blend men with machines. They want to put that chip in your brain and interface your body.
I did a research paper about that when I was at University of Kansas. I did a research paper about that, and they called me a conspiracy theorist. And I even showed videos, and this was back in 2004, you know, and this is business school. You know, I'm like, hey, RFID technology. Walmart used RFID technology. When you scan it, they already have a warehouse shipping it out. I did all this research, had credible references, and the professors and everybody was calling me crazy. And now they're putting it in, you know, people. When you come to Florida and you go, they call it E-Pass. It has RFID technology in it. They're tracking you. Now they're putting it in credit cards.
They're putting it in everything. They're going to be able to track a pair of tires on your car from birth to grave because they're going to be able to actually see it, where it is and where it ends up. And, I mean, you know, the excuse is about demographics and business, but in the meantime, it takes away all your privacy, you know?
They called me crazy and denied my master's degree.
There's a website out there, I think it's Jason39 or something like that, and it's about this melding of man and machine and AI technology. And that's what this 5G is all about, too, that they want to put in. I mean, there's great things that could come out of 5G, but they're also going to be able to control us, and they're going to know everything that goes on.
You know how they control us? They control us through the ELF towers or the EMP towers. There's everywhere that people think the cell phone towers. They control us with their
chem clouds, and there's nanotechnology in that. And I'm going to just say that.
Well, you're crazy. Okay.
Say again?
No, I'm just teasing you. I said, well, you must be crazy. That's what they'll tell you.
I'm all crazy. Then when I say stuff and then they come out in the media and I'd be like, I told you. I tried to tell y'all. But, you know, my research is so more advanced than the average person since I met the astronaut.
It's an exciting time to be alive because all this stuff is going to come out. All the hidden truths are going to be revealed very shortly. And people are going to be knocked off their socks, I think, you know. And, you know, that's also a weapon of theirs to reveal to people how much they've been lying to us and try to get us like deer in the headlights when we realize how big things really are and how much stuff's out there that we really don't know.
You know what the astronaut told me? I went to a proper apartment and we came out of looking at
it. Oh, we can't hear you. You got something happened. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to the astronaut because, you know, I help him out because his own kids won't. And they live here in Florida. Well, one of them does. And I applied for an apartment. It's like, well, you don't make enough, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how could they do something to you like that? You're a nice person. You know, how can they deny you? And he's like, the government, because they took his Social Security. He's supposed to be making $100,000 a year from his retirement. But he, from what he told me, he felt like the American people need to know the truth. So they took his benefits. So he lives in a trailer park. You know, no AC. I go pick him up, take him to get his mail, take him to Walmart. It's like, I hate Walmart now because I'm all constantly going to Walmart. But you say, you know, Felicia, they won't allow you. You're homeless. You're sleeping out of your car. And what they did to you was wrong. And they won't even allow you to find a place to stay. And he said, don't you know that the planet Earth itself is a living organism that's allowing us to live here? That's what he told me.
Well,
he said, the planet Earth is allowing us to live here because if it didn't exist, we won't. He said, it's a living organism. It breathes and do everything we do. We're a part of it. But I don't want to go into all that. But, okay, I stand mute because I keep going.
Okay, I'll let you go. It's been good talking, Felicia. Okay, have a good night. I'm going to end now. There's nobody else, and we're close enough. So have a good night. We'll see you next week, and same time and same station. Thank you, everybody. God bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you.